Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends. This is Way Back Playback, episode number 347. And this week, we bring you the first hour of the 1986 NWA Jim Crockett Senior Memorial Cup. I am Pat McNeil. Hello, you people. I am Pat McNeil. And I am joined, as always, by the other half of the podcasting tag team champions of time and space, the effing king of recovery, Jim Valley. Jim, are you ready to head back to New Orleans in 1986 and experience the recession?
35 years ago.
My goodness.
Yeah, this is one of the epic cards, I think, as far as the amount of talent from different promotions all across the country and in other specific countries. So, no, this should be very exciting.
Okay, so let's see. So, due to lack of sleep, I am not as well prepared as I normally am. First of all, patreon.com/waybackplayback. You can definitely join there and get the complete archives, including another show that took place the same weekend, as I recall, Wrestle Rock.
Yes,
that's right. This was the night before Wrestle Rock. So there were a bunch of people who were, yeah. I mean, this was a crazy, wild time here in 1986.
I remember Pro Wrestling Illustrated as the Super Cards 86 cover with WrestleMania 2, Crockett Cup, and Wrestle Rock on it.
That's pretty good stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. All right, so
actually Wrestle Rock, for all you make fun of it,
we did that. But
it drew more people than the Crockett Cup did, which is crazy.
It did, and that's something that we can talk about here in just a second. It's Saturday, April 19th, 1986, and the Crockett Cup is divided into two cards at the Louisiana Superdome. It is an afternoon and an evening card. The afternoon card draws a whopping 3,500. Do I have that right?
Yeah, it wasn't a big number at all.
And then 13,000 on hand for the big show at the nighttime. And, you know, 13,000 is a pretty good number of people, unless you're sitting in the Louisiana Superdome, which holds over 60,000.
You're right, Hogan.
Yeah, sorry. Well, it does. I mean, it holds a lot of people. But they weren't there. This was kind of on a par for what Mid-South had been doing at their Superdome shows over the previous year. So, including their previous Superdome show was Starrcade 85 with a few selected matches on via closed circuit in the Superdome, with a few selected matches taking place live in the building, including, I believe, Jake Roberts beating Lord Humongous by DQ was the feature. So,
and I guess was it Jim Duggan and Dick Slater, something like that?
Well, we're gonna see Jim Duggan and Dick Slater in about 3.5 hours, but yeah. Okay, so this is where we are now. This is the this is what's on Hidden Gems on the WWE Network, or you can go ahead and find it. There's a couple versions of it on YouTube. I'm in the account that's called Classic Wrestling Stuff, and sure enough, there's about 4 hours of it here. So there are 24 tag teams in here, Jim. Unfortunately, the 4 hours that we're seeing here do not represent the entire Crockett Cup, because we are going to start at match six. Let me go over. Okay, the top eight seeds are automatically advanced into the second round. Okay, so I think that's simple enough. So you have the remaining 16 seeds trying to determine who gets to move on and fight the top eight seeds in the next round of the tournament. I think that makes sense. I might have to do a graphic and put it up on our Facebook page so people can understand it. Okay, so here is what you have missed at this point. The opening match, the team of Wahoo McDaniel and Mark Youngblood defeat Bobby Jaggers and Mike Miller.
Who came in from Portland just to lose in the opening round.
Just to lose in the opening round. So Wahoo and Mark have advanced to the second round. The next match, the Batten twins, Bart and Brad Batten, who you may remember as you may remember them from Central States. You may remember them as WCW jobbers. It doesn't matter. They you lost.
You don't remember them.
Yeah. They lost. They lost to Sam Houston and Nelson Royal. So Sam Houston and Nelson Royal move on in the Crockett Cup. Let's see. Match number three. It's the Boogie Woogie Man, Jimmy Valiant, and Manny Fernandez against Paul Jones' team of Baron Von Raschke and the Barbarian. And believe it or not, Jimmy Valiant and Manny Fernandez advance to the second round. This is a crowd pleaser so far. The local Mid-South team was supposed to be Steve Dr. Death Williams and Ted DiBiase, but with DiBiase injured, the team was Steve Dr. Death Williams and Terry Taylor. And in the first round, they defeat the team of superstar Bill Dundee and Buddy Landell. Hey. So Doc and Terry Taylor are in the have moved to the second round. And right before this, the Guerreros, Chavo Classic, Chavo Guerrero Sr., whatever you want to call him, teaming with Hector Guerrero against the Sheepherders, Luke and Butch, with Jack Victory, and the Sheepherders win. Yes, they do. So the Sheepherders have advanced. And we are back inside the very tranquil McNeil Command Center. Here we're going to tell you about a very special place. And that place is our patron at patreon.com/waybackplayback. Now, you're probably asking yourself, Pat, aren't the shows free? And the answer is yes. Episodes we put out on Sunday are free to the general public. In fact, we have over 150 episodes available for free on our podcast feed. However, if you would like to support the show, and if you would like the entirety of our archives, you can always go to patreon.com/waybackplayback. There, for as little as $4.50 a month, you can get access to all of our shows, including the shows from the first 3.5 years that were behind the paywall previously. You can get access to those. You can get access to our shows in advance of when they go up on the podcast feed. And you can also get the version of our shows that comes without the commercial messages, including this commercial message that you are listening to right now. And yes, this does help support myself and Jim Valley, but you can also support Jim by going to GoFundMe.com/Jim-Valley-Fundraiser and helping Jim and Carrie with the medical bills that they amassed in the 4 months that Jim was in intensive care. That's also helpful. But patreon.com/waybackplayback, you'll get all the episodes. You'll get them. You'll get the new ones ad-free and in advance. And you'll also get the bonus material, which we put together every couple of weeks. We try to do something special for the nice people in the Black Scorpion tier on Patreon. That's our $10 tier. And you'll get some of that material as time goes on. But the people on the Black Scorpion tier will get it several months in advance of the people on the $4.50 tier. So if you have money burning a hole in your pocket after the reduction in the cost of the WWE Network, and you have, I don't know, 190 spare hours that you don't know what to do with, definitely sign up for our Patreon, patreon.com/waybackplayback, patreon.com/waybackplayback, and thank you for listening. Okay, so we're all cut up now, I think.
Got up.
Okay, we're at 0 minutes and 0 seconds, and we're about to start with match number six. And Jim and I are going to have to do some commentary on this because there's none provided with the, this is just raw footage, mostly the handhelds. Okay, so if everybody is on board, we're going to hit play together in 3, 2, 1. All right, here we are. Yep.
Some fine camera work here right at the beginning.
Yes, oh, and by the way, your ring announcer is Bruce Pritchard.
Yeah, you can hear him if you have the sound up.
Okay. All right, the team in the red corner, those handsome fellows, Stan Lane and Steve Kern, the fabulous ones.
God, look how jacked Stan Lane is. Look how big he looks.
Yep.
And they're in Florida Fabs. Right now.
Yeah. There you go. But people know who the fabulous ones are. All right. Yes. Yes, and despite the lack of a crowd, it was pointed out that super fans from all over the South came to New Orleans for it. So these are like the diehards.
Oh, God, I would have loved to have gone to this show.
Bobby Fulton and Tommy Rogers here.
And this is supposed to be from what I understand, the best match of the tournament.
So of course we're going to start off right there. Okay, that's fine.
We're going in hot.
Yes, we are. Now, all three of these matches are supposed to be good here. Oh, hold on. The next three that we're going to see in the first round.
Look at that. The Fabs playing subtle heel.
Oh, yeah. They don't want any of that. And we're underway. Yeah. Bobby Fulton and... okay.
Stan Lane.
Stan, yep. Here we go.
And it looks like, I believe that's Tommy Gilbert as referee.
Oh, wow.
Eddie Gilbert's dad. It looks like him.
Yes, who... yeah.
No, maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong.
Okay. Well, a few years later, we'd be right in the middle of that Tommy Gilbert, Eddie Marlin feud that just tore Memphis down.
It's kind of amazing that they put these two teams together first thing. Think you'd want both these teams to advance for
you would think
popularity and match quality.
I don't even want to imagine how much politics were involved in like the booking of this tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, everybody's got to be protected, and that's understandable. I mean, but yeah, you're not really going to see. I mean, you wouldn't see anything exactly like this today. You just can't get enough. Not enough cooperation.
Well, we never saw anything like this since. I mean, the Crockett Cup changed a lot after this. It was pretty much just a Jim Crockett Promotions team.
Their stars, yeah.
Production. Yeah, it was, you know, it was nothing after that. It was like, you know, you had all the Paul Jones tag teams and, like I said, Sam Houston. And I mean, they were like in every match.
And technically, this is not a Crockett. I mean, this isn't a Crockett show. This is being promoted by UWF or Mid-South or whatever you want to call it, Bill Watts. Program. Get your programs here. All right. Oh, sorry, Tommy.
Oh. But I mean, the vast majority of the talent is Crockett.
Yeah, it is. But but here, I mean, here it's, you know, it's a pretty good cross section of everybody who's not with WWE.
Yeah, now this is, you know, no AWA guys, but yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, most of the AWA guys were otherwise occupied. That's true.
I mean, realistically, when it comes to top tag teams, really, the only people you're missing that you get still, you know, maybe Wyndham and Rotundo, but they're booked for
WrestleRock.
Yeah,
that's true.
Of course, the Fabs were booked for WrestleRock too.
That's also true, and here they are. It helped. I mean, part of that probably explained why this was a, you know, in future years they'd make it a two-night tournament instead of a one-night. And
I don't know why they didn't cut the teams down, because I mean, it's cool to have 24 teams, but, you know, after a certain number, it's like the quality really dropped off in the next 2 years.
Yes, that's true. Well, I mean, you could just do the first round matches on television, which is what WWF ended up doing with the King of the Ring. I mean, that makes sense. And that, I don't remember anybody complaining when they started doing that.
I like Steve Kern chewing his gum.
Yeah. We need some nice close-ups there. There we go.
Yeah.
All right, Tommy. Yeah. Hey.
You know, it's funny because you got, you know, the Fabs were initially, you know, the top team in Memphis, and the Rock and Roll Express was created because you wanted two sex symbol tag teams on each card that they ran. So it was where the Fabs couldn't be, they created the Rock and Roll Express. And then you also have here, out of the Fabs and the Rock and Rolls, you got the Fantastics. So it's like, it's very interesting, sort of the ecosystem that both these teams came out of.
Right. I guess that's part of the intrigue here. Let's see what WWF was doing on the 19th. Okay, so... Yeah, the A team was in Hartford, Connecticut at the Civic Center, where I guess you got to watch, what do we have here? Yeah, George Steele beats the Iron Sheik in the semi-main, and Hulk Hogan and the Junkyard Dog beat Dory Funk Jr. and Bob Orton Jr., who is filling in for Terry Funk. So not altogether bad. All right, here we go. Tagging back in. They're working over Curry.
Got the Iron Sheik and
George Steele.
George Steele, wow.
Yep, aren't you sorry you missed that?
No.
Okay, 5 minutes have elapsed, by the way, in this match. Meanwhile, over on the B card, the B card is in the Maple Leaf Gardens in Toronto, in front of 16,000, who showed up to see. Oh, let's see here. Well, that's pretty good. Tito Santana beats Randy Savage by disqualification when Savage pulls the referee into the way. And your feature bout, it is the British Bulldogs and King Tonga against Brutus Beefcake, Greg Valentine, and John Lush and Johnny V. Let's see, Valentine pins the Dynamite Kid using the tights.
So, 16,000 for a B show.
Yep,
incredible.
Hey, Toronto was hot in 1986, yeah. which is why they go on to have the big event there.
Yeah,
that summer. That's good stuff. All right. I feel like the crowd, what there is of it, because there's only 3,500 in the afternoon session. They're kind of split. All right, and you can tell the difference later on when we go to the evening session, when there's a lot more people in the audience. I mean, this is not, yeah, this is not the intimate circumstances you need. This is kind of a high ceiling, and you're not going to get quite the noise out of 3,500 fans that you might elsewhere.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you figure also they got to be disappointed with the crowd as far as, and this is a stacked.
Yeah.
Card as far as talent.
Oh yeah.
You know, you got Flair and Dusty in the main event, and yeah. Dusty was huge in Superdome and was big cards.
And Duggan and Slater, I think Slater, if I remember correctly, Slater was the bookers and Duggan's the top guy. So yeah, there's, you know, you'd sort of want that to hit. It didn't do any special business here. Let's see. Okay, so they taped. So apparently they taped TV that morning. They did TV that morning live at TBS, and then flew everybody out to New Orleans. And let's see. I think that, yeah, that was the week they did the Arn Anderson, Manny Fernandez match on TV. I don't think there was a, I think that was some sort of a screwy finish. Okay, the previous night they're in Philadelphia at the Civic Center. So these guys went from Philly to the TBS, to where they stop at the TBS studios and then over to New Orleans. Okay. Sorry, go ahead.
What a grind.
It is quite a grind. The Midnight Express, the tag team champions, beat the Road Warriors by reverse decision. Let's see. So it's a DQ win for the Midnight Express. And then in the main event in Philly, it was Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, and Tully Blanchard beating Dusty Rhodes, Ronnie Garvin, and Wahoo McDaniel. Okay. There we are. Oh, the headbutt. Wow.
Then there's, I don't remember seeing anything doing that before.
Yep. And Steve Kern with the taunts. There we go. Well, I guess they figure the Fantastics are more of a history as baby faces in New Orleans. But if you have to turn anybody, you know, subtle heel for this, it might as well be the Fabulous Ones.
Well, I mean, did the Fabulous, well, I don't remember the Fantastics ever really working heel in this era, and they're on TV and Crockett TV, so it's like kind of makes sense that the Fabs would be the subtle heels.
Yep, I think so. I remember the AWA was doing something that night. It was doing something while this was going on, which was the excuse for, you know, which is why they didn't have more AWA teams on it before. I'm trying to remember what it was, though, and I'm going to pull this up. All right. There we go. I mean, Steve Kern has, yeah, Steve Kern and Stan Lane, they don't have any problem working as heels.
No.
Okay, so here we go.
Well, I mean, that's what they were supposed to be initially.
Right.
When they first put them together in Memphis, the plan was that they were going to eventually turn on, I can't think of his name.
Lawler?
No, the Spirit? Legend. Well,
Dundee?
No, the legend in Memphis.
Jackie Fargo?
Jackie Fargo, thank you, sorry.
Sure, that's what I did.
Anyway, they were the Fargo's Fabulous Ones. And right. The idea was that, by the way, nice moon there by Bobby Fulton. But the idea was after not very long that they were going to turn on Fargo, but they were so popular that they decided not to and just kept a baby face. And, you know, those guys made nothing but money as far as sellouts, ticket sales, and stuff happening in their van.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course.
Yeah.
1986. Okay. I could have sworn there was a AWA show going on this night, but I'm still looking for it. The show previous to this for the AWA was apparently the Sunday before this. They're in Oakland drawing 1,800 people with Sergeant Slaughter versus the Barbarian and Frank Goodish versus Leon White.
Nord the Barbarian.
No. Oh, yeah, Nord the Barbarian, yeah.
Yeah, John Nord.
Okay, fair enough. Well, still.
Yeah.
Sergeant Slaughter was kind of a big deal. So Slaughter beats the Barbarian by DQ. Okay, yep, Nord the Barbarian.
Strong Power's fading pretty fast.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they are struggling. Oh, my. Okay, what do we got here? Yep. So they're working the refs. They're working the ref. They're double teaming. Yep. There we go. Very nice. Okay, we got some happy people in the crowd.
Yeah.
I mean, well, this had to be one of the matches that you're looking forward to if you're attending the afternoon session.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, there's some dream matches as far as these two teams. You know, you got these two. You know, very similar teams with, like I said, some history in their background, kind of. They're connected on the same kind of tree of tag team wrestling.
Yeah.
You know, the only bigger match, the Fabs and the Rock and Rolls.
Yeah. And it's quite possible people were expecting that.
Look how good Steve Kern is.
There we go. I mean, they didn't just pick his name out of a hat when they were looking to start, do a developmental territory. I mean,
he's pretty great.
Yeah. There we go. Very nice. Ooh. Oh, Stan.
Oh. When I was at Cauliflower Alley, Steve Kern hadn't been there before. So for the banquet, for the awards banquet, he came up and I'd interviewed him a couple of times by then. So he kind of knew who I was. And he's like, where's my table? Like thinking I was in charge. I'm like, I don't know. Let me go find out. So I went and found out where he was. And I went and told him. And he took like two steps. And he stops. And he gives me the side eye. And he goes, you're not ribbing me, are you?
Steve Kern.
Steve, I don't know you well enough.
Okay. Memphis, let's see. Well, they're getting ready for their big Monday night show in Memphis with Dutch Mantell and Abdul Gaddafi in a bullwhip on a pole match. And let's see, Lawler, Jarrett, and Joe LaDuke against Bill Dundee, Buddy Landell, and Tony Falk. Well, the just doesn't get much bigger than that.
No. Oh, look at that. That's a nice roll-up.
Nice.
Wow. Clean finish and everything.
Hey.
That was amazing.
Fantastic's get a win.
And look at that. They're totally selling.
They're selling the,
Look at him. Yeah. Stepping up fit. Kern just having a fit. That was great.
Yeah. As good as advertised.
Yeah. Even better than their snakeskin trunks.
Oh, man.
Not sure how I feel about those. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right.
Those look too much like underwear to me.
Yeah, this is what it looks like. Yes.
Look at this. Isn't this crazy?
Rick Steiner and Buzz Sawyer.
Coco beware before he's in the WWF. There's Buzz Sawyer.
All right.
Scumbag.
Yep.
I love that belt, though. The UWF TV title. That's a beautiful right. belt. Look at, there's a young Rick Steiner for free. And right, his collegiate look. The varsity there's club.
The Italian Stallion.
And Coco yes. Beware.
And Coco Beware.
Who's going to win? I don't know.
He's the Birdman Coco Beware, no less.
Yeah. No, he was the Birdman before he was in WWF. That's why he did the gimmick afterwards, because
yeah.
he did it before.
All right. He did. Okay, there we go. We're getting ready. And this looks like a barn burner. Earl Hebner, your referee. Okay. The Italian Stallion pretty much is over in 1985 as he would be each successive year afterwards. Let's see. All right, let's see what Coco has.
Yes, the Italian Stallion is over with this crowd as he is with the Hardy Boys.
That's right. Exactly. All right. Come on. Oh no. Oh. There we go.
Jeez, what's our laying that stuff in?
Oh wow. There we go. Yeah, just background him. Oh, nice. That's a heck of a bump for a drop kick there.
Yeah.
You can't say Buzz Sawyer wasn't talented.
No, he's very, very talented.
Yeah. Not really. You know, I mean, he doesn't quite have the hunting. Rick Steiner doesn't quite have the hunting beard, but that's pretty good. And this
still
is
still very stiff. Rick is.
Right.
Stiff as far as his movements and things, not very fluid.
Oh, here we go. Hey! Yep. Crowd's not buying it.
Crowd's like, get this match over with. We already know.
Come on, we got a really good match, Lex. Let's do that. I don't even know. I'm not sure we have a really good match next, but I'm willing to bet we are.
Is Italian Stallion a substitute for somebody?
You would think. Let's see.
I would think, like, because, I mean...
Anybody? Like, yeah.
Well, I mean, Coco was a UWF guy. Italian Stallion is an enhancement guy, I guess. I guess you consider Crockett. It's, I don't know, it seems... I don't know.
There were a couple of substitutes that they're, you know... Let's see. Non-tournament matches beyond. Okay. Yep. 1986. Okay. Let's see here. Tournament participants in 86. Blah, 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 blah. That just says the Italian Stallion and Coco Ware, the UWF team. Okay. Okay. Let's see if there's anybody other surprises here. Okay. Do we have tag team champions? All right. The Batten Twins were the Batten Twins were in by virtue of being the Central State tag team champions.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. There's definitely no. There he is, Gary Sabaw. Accomplishments. Championships and accomplishments, not many. Okay.
I just remember he's the world spaghetti eating champion.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
Been mentioned many times on television when they can't think of anything else to say about the Italian Stallion.
Coco Beware's on fire.
Oh, yeah.
He's doing great.
Well, he only has to work once. Might as well get,
Yeah. I mean, you can really see a difference between Coco Beware outside of WWF and Coco Beware as the WWE product.
Well, yeah, because, you know, he gets there and they're probably like, okay, slow it down, buddy. We, you know.
Yeah.
It's not, you know, that's really unnecessary.
Get three moves and then wave your hands a little, flap your arms a little.
There we go. That's all you need. All right. Oh, my.
Oh, and here's a parrot.
Yep. There we go.
I mean, you see Coco's stuff in Memphis. He's very good. He's, you know, he did some great stuff in Memphis.
Right. I mean, he's extremely talented.
Buzz Sawyer, look at that. Look at that.
Wow. Oops.
Well,
yep.
He's really given him a lot.
Right. Well, you know, and I guess, you know, really, why not? I, you know, he's the TV champion. He's going to, you know, he's going to be the TV champion. Okay. That Stallion looks good.
Yeah, there's that patented side headlock that he always used.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, just like, you know, you're on a major card, maybe show a few things. I don't know.
Well,
maybe show a few things besides your side headlock.
Well, it's a shoulder tackle right there.
Yeah.
There we go. Let's go to another headlock.
Yeah.
5 minutes have gone by.
Thank you.
And, oh my. I just looked at the match times. I want to grab a Snickers, Jim.
Oh no.
Yeah. There we go. Crank it in. Crank it in some more. Yeah. Let's get that nice shot of Coco on the apron. Although kudos to whoever found this footage, by the way. That was, you know, this is made for entertaining stuff.
I think they turned out a video cassette, but it was only like,
They had a two-hour video cassette, and that's available on YouTube as well. And we might have to turn to that in order to get the final match, but that's...
Yeah, the final match is not on this version.
No, it's not on this version. Oh!
There's the photographer, in case you want to see him.
Yeah.
Seems like a nice man.
There he goes. I don't think he's George Napolitano, though.
No.
Or Bill Apter.
But Sawyer was an amateur wrestler in Florida. Very talented, but had problems, had discipline problems.
Yes.
Shocking.
I know.
Shocking that followed him his entire life.
Yep. Well, you know, the talent let him get away with some of the discipline problems.
Yeah.
Passed away some people would not say way too soon, but passed away at 32 years old, which is...
Yeah. When what year did he pass away?
What's it, 92? Drug overdose.
So he was 32. So he's 26 years old here.
Yes.
Holy
cow. Which meant he was 24 when he was taking on Tommy Rich in Atlanta.
That's ridiculous.
That is crazy.
That guy's 26 in this big. He looks about 46.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Drugs will do that to you, kids.
Yeah, no kidding.
Well, as 26-year-old Bud Sawyer.
Yeah.
Well, and he came to Portland like in 1980.
And he's a recent addition to the WWE Hall of Fame, I should say.
That's right.
Yes. I'm sure Undertaker was thrilled about that.
Two WWE Hall of Famers right there.
That's true.
Yeah. He's a Hall of Famer and Magnum TA isn't.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. Well, he's in the legacy wing, I guess.
Right. You don't get anything.
Yeah. Well, you get inducted. That's pretty much it. Oh, well. All right, so Coco's down. That's 2021. Okay, yeah, Legacy inductions for 2021. Buzz Sawyer, Dick the Bruiser, Pez Whatley, or Shashka Whatley, if you're watching the show. Ethel Johnson and Paul Bosch. And I'm guessing Bruce Pritchard is the reason that he helped get Paul Bosch in.
Paul Bosch should be in. I mean,
yeah, he should be, but you know,
deserves to be in.
He's not. I mean, he's not. You know, the big draw is what they're looking for with the live. Okay, Ethel Johnson, African American, first African American women's wrestler, debuted in 1951. Okay, there you go. Oh no. Fans are just torn up about what's happening to Coco and the Italian Stallion.
Yeah, you think they'd be more excited.
Yeah.
That guy's a couple beers in there, the guy with the mustache.
Right.
Isn't this great, honey? Look at that.
Yeah. Okay, now.
My wife, when we're at Blood and Guts on Wednesday.
Oh, she'll be thrilled.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe she'll run across Trevor Lawrence and his spouse.
Could only hope.
Yeah. I mean, how could you not invite your new quarterback to Blood and Guts?
I think it's probably part of the deal.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, Trevor Lawrence is all elite. That's right. I forgot. Okay. Yay. Hey. 10 minutes have gone by. So, would you like to have a talk with whichever agent Bill Watts was using, who gave this match more time than the Fantastics and the Fabulous Ones?
No kidding, right?
Not kidding.
I don't know why. I don't know. I mean, is this like, I don't know, do the Fabs need to catch a plane? Is that what's going on?
Maybe. I mean, that, I could see that.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go. Ah, the bear hug. There's a reason you don't see extended bear hug spots anymore.
Yeah, they have not had Rick Steiner in this match. Rick Steiner's really green at this point.
Right.
You know, you can see the difference between Rick Steiner here and how his style evolved over time.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, they're playing it smart. He's getting his power moves in. He's tagging out, Probably explains why Buzz is doing all the selling, because Rick's not really ready for it. TV champion Buzz Sawyer. Oh, actually, let me just pull this up here. It's 1996. Okay. Yeah, I'm mildly curious as to what's going on in the UWF at this point. Is it the? I think it's the UWF's. 86.
Yeah, because that's the UWF.
Yeah, because March 86 is when they switched. Okay. And people obviously still think of them as Mid-South at this point, but here we go. Okay, April. It's the Cracker Cup. 15th. Okay. All right, so there are TV shows airing. Let's see. Okay. Yeah, on the TV show that morning, you had the Fantastics and Terry Taylor beating the Sheepherders and Jack Victory in a 6-man by disqualification, and Coco Beware beating Rick Steiner.
So a prelude to this match.
Yeah, actually.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it's breaking down in Tulsa. All right. Let's see here.
Look at that added leverage there by Buzz Sawyer.
Oh, yeah. Very subtle.
Boy, they're breaking his foot. They're breaking his back.
Right.
That leverage, sheesh.
Yep. You can't really do that. You can't really do subtle stuff anymore like that. Well, I mean, you could, I suppose, but They don't. Yeah, so outside of the TV taping that week, they had the week off leading up to the Crockett Cup, the UWF did. They had a show in Oklahoma City headlined by Duggan beating Buzz Sawyer by DQ and the Fantastics beating the Sheepherders, which is about par for the course, I guess. Man rule.
Fantastics and the Sheepherders is a legendary feud.
Yes, it was. And actually, April 6th at the UNO Lakefront Arena, so they had just run New Orleans like 2 weeks prior to this. That's, they run every 2 weeks, I'm guessing? Something like that? Well, every month, really. Yeah. So, yeah, 2 weeks prior, they had run the UNO Arena with, Duggan and Dr. Death against Slater and Buzz Sawyer in a Texas Tornado match, and Dusty Rhodes and Arn Anderson in a Texas Death match. I don't know, there wasn't that. Doesn't feel like there was that pent up demand, I guess.
Yeah. Well, Sawyer just did splash off the top rope.
Hot tag.
Here comes that House of Fire, the Italian
Stallion, yes.
Look at him, boy. He's just.
Oh, man. He's al dente.
Oh, yes. Goodness gracious. He's got
5 minutes remaining. 15 minutes gone by. Oh, and the Italian Stallion has lost his poor meatball.
That was impressive.
Yep, that was, yeah. That's just power. Yeah. Stallion got up, but that's better. Yeah, there we go. Look at that smile. All right. Okay, so now you're asking yourself, what match? Yeah, well, so what are we going to end this afternoon session on? Yes.
You want to end on a high note.
Right, absolutely. From the state of Texas, Black Bart, the NWA Mid-Atlantic champion.
Yes.
Yes. And 240 pounds. Jim Gersh.
Yeah, you want to team for Cowboy. With the Prissy guy. Because they go together.
Okay. All right. Let's see their opponents. They're here somewhere. Dave Peterson! Yay!
From Central States.
And Brett Sawyer!
Oh, well.
So, yeah.
That's Sawyer.
Yeah. Okay, so Peterson and Sawyer taking on Black Bart and Jimmy Garvin. Right. Okay. Where do I sign up for an NFT of this?
Well, does Sawyer, or not Sawyer, does Peterson have dollar signs on his trunks? Somebody does.
It looked like that.
Somebody did. I saw the... It's like a close-up.
I kind of think it was Brett Sawyer because he had the same color as the jacket.
Maybe.
Well, maybe. I don't know. Let's find out. Okay. Here we go. There's Bart.
And, you know, Brett Sawyer, he was, he wrestled in Portland for a number of years, and he was very popular.
Yes.
It's probably his best territory.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there we go. Determined to show something here. Don't want to waste the trip down to New Orleans. Okay. All right, so, yeah, Black Bart would like a test of strength. Yep, well, there you go. Yep. You know, Black Bart, a very talented wrestler and a good role player, but it's not as if a promotion would actually ever make him like their top guy. Oh, wait, I think World Class did near the end there.
Yeah, world class,
awkward.
But
awkward.
Things were bad, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like they didn't really have anybody.
There we go. All right. Nice work by Brett, sir. So Dave Peterson is sporting the Big Scott Hall look, I think.
Yeah, he sort of looks like if Magnum T.A. and Scott Hall had a kid.
Yes.
I never got why Dave Peterson, he was on the AWA and got a little bit of a push, but he never really made it that big.
No, he didn't. Well, no. Well, at that point in the AWA, nobody was going to make it big.
Yeah, were he and the Trooper the last?
Yes, they were. Yeah, the Trooper. Yeah, Del Wilkes and DJ Peterson, last AWA Tag Team Champions.
Yeah. He's pretty much a Central States Midwest guy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's see. Okay, so Brett Sawyer, Central States champion, former Central States champion, former four-time Pacific Northwest champion,
yeah,
and a five-time Pacific Northwest tag team champion with twice with Tom Pritchard, yeah,
and with Rocky Johnson as well.
Yeah, that's true. With Rocky Johnson, one with Buzz Sawyer, and the fifth one was with Steve Pardee.
Yeah, I don't remember that one.
Okay. Let's see.
I didn't know Steve Pardee won anything.
Yeah, well.
Wow.
Oh, also won the Florida tag team titles with Jim Backlund, a.k.a. Jimmy Del Rey.
Well, he was the, he won the Georgia National title.
Yeah, he did.
Wayne, where they didn't announce that he was Buzz Sawyer's brother for a long time.
Right. Brett Wayne, yes.
Yeah. We had just gotten cable right around that time. So I'd see him on TV and I was like, don't they know that he's Brett's Buzzer's brother? It's like they'd wrestled together. But,
they didn't think to ask, I guess.
Well, I mean, without TV I know. Everywhere, people don't know it still that at that time. But
yeah.
I remember I went to a Portland show in my hometown that they put on. And people were yelling at him, hey, Brett Wayne. And at that point, I realized that cable television had changed everything.
Yeah, just a bit.
Yeah.
Hey. All right. Let's see what Jimmy Garvin has to offer here in the ring. Probably the same things he usually offers.
Yeah, same stuff.
Yep. Hey.
And he had just left the AWA, too.
Right. He had been, yeah. Yeah, that was, yeah. That was the thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Well, he'd been feuding with Rick Martel over the title, and when Jimmy Garvin is your top heel, that's not a good sign.
Well, and he and Steve Regal beat the Road Warriors for the AWA Tag Team titles.
That's an even worse sign.
Yeah. You know, there's the famous story about the Fabulous Ones, where they were supposed to drop the Road Warriors, were supposed to drop the AWA title to the Fabulous Ones. The Road Warriors decided to change the finish of the fly. And there's a bunch of interviews about that. But, you know, I asked Road Warrior Animal, it's like, why would you lose to Garvin and Regal, who are a similar but not established tag team? But not lose to an established tag team,
like
the Fabulous Ones. I mean, one would, I don't know. In my mind, one would think you'd want to lose to the Fabulous Ones.
Yeah.
I think that Road Warrior was like, well, I don't think they were happy. They said that they didn't like the way the Fabulous Ones didn't sell enough.
Okay. Well,
if you ask Steve Kern, and I asked him too.
Right.
He said that those guys just didn't want to lose in front of their friends in Minnesota.
Okay.
And that can make sense, too.
Right.
They didn't want to lose on TV.
Okay, here we go. And, while I would say that Black Bart and Jimmy Garvin are an unorthodox tag team, they seem to be working together. What was that?
Is that the Brain Buster?
That was the finisher, I guess. Yeah, I guess that's the Brain Buster. I guess that's the finish. All right, Black Bart and Jimmy Garvin move on to the second round. Hooray!
Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Okay, what do we got going on? All right, it's time to start the second round.
It's Bruce Pritchard and Jim Cornette. Yes.
Yeah, Bruce Pritchard's young here.
Yeah.
He looks like he's going to be a page at 30 Rock. There we go. All right. Okay. All right.
Are we watching this match?
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I guess we are. Yeah. Nelson Royal.
Yeah.
And Sam Houston.
So these are two Cowboys here. They go together.
All right. Well, hey, yep, they're Cowboys.
Yeah.
Sure. Okay, so here we go. Second round is going to start off, and you have to wonder which team is going to advance to the quarterfinals, whether it's going to be the Midnight Express, who got a bye because they were NWA Tag Team Champions, or two-thirds of the Three Amigos there.
Yeah. The Desperados.
Yeah.
You know, why didn't they just put the junior heavyweight title on Sam Houston?
I don't know. Not probably look too big to be a junior heavyweight.
Too tall, yeah, but I don't know. Just do that.
I'm not sure either. Yeah. All right. There we go. Oh.
So funny. It's like Sam Houston is small, but it's like today he's a giant.
Yep. He would be. And actually, if I remember this correctly, I think we have one more match this week after this.
Okay.
I think this is the, I think we're actually, I think we're still in the afternoon session. We just decided to go ahead and start the, and give you the first two matches of the second round, which makes more sense. How do you expect the fans to pass up the opportunity to see this? Okay, here we go. Oh, the abdominal stretch. That's it. There's no way Condry can stand up to that.
No.
Yeah. Oh, well. Gosh darn it, the ref missed it. Okay, that's it.
You're kidding me. That was it?
They probably had a longer match at TBS that morning.
Wow. Holy cow.
Midnight Express moves on to the quarterfinals.
Jeez, that was okay. I didn't expect that.
Okay, so, it's full of surprises here, this Crockett Cup.
Even George Napolitano's like, wow, that was fast.
Yeah. Okay, we've gotten the cameraman's head spinning, so.
Yeah, he's...
Oh, that's good. Okay, there we go.
There's Sam Houston's bulge.
Yes, Nelson Royal. Oh, okay. All right.
Way to sell that, Nelson.
Yep. Let's get to the last match here of the afternoon session.
Yeah.
And actually, it's a slightly more appropriate one than Black Bart and Jimmy Garvin against against DJ Peterson and
Brett Sawyer.
And Brett Sawyer, yeah. Here we go. Look who's making their way to the ring. It's the team of Ronnie Garvin and Magnum TA.
Wait, didn't we already see DJ Peterson?
No, it's not DJ Peterson. It's Magnum TA, man.
It is.
They had a bye.
Yeah.
They earned the bye by virtue of Magnum being the U.S. champion. Okay. And away we go. All right, so who do they draw for the second round? Why, guess who?
I can't see.
Rick Steiner and Buzz Sawyer.
Oh, wow, that was a fast turnaround.
Yeah. Hardly seems fair for Rick and Buzz, but...
Yeah. Seems like kind of a ripoff.
This sounds like the sort of match Bill Watts would want to leave his, end a show on.
Oh, yeah. Got four big hosses in there.
Yep.
Four tough guys.
Thump, thump, thump.
Yeah.
All right, Hands of Stone himself.
That terrible haircut.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Okay, and we're off and running. Six. Here we go. Buzz and Ronnie Garvin, this should be fun.
Yeah. Hopefully, Buzz, why don't you try to pull something with Ronnie Garvin?
I think Buzz has enough experience at this point that he's not going to do that.
Yeah.
All right.
He's Magnum TA's trainer. Yep. He's in the ring with him right there.
Okay. Well, yay.
He paid Buzz Sawyer money to train him, and he went to go meet Buzz, and Buzz attacked the territory.
In a shocking development, yeah.
Well, and Magnum drove all the way across to Portland, Oregon, where Buzz was wrestling, and got some training in the Portland Sports Arena, and wrestled that night.
Wow.
Yeah.
Florida. Okay. All right, nope.
God.
Nothing. Okay, here. Let's see what Rick Steiner can do. I don't know if they've met up yet, but they will.
It's amazing. Ronnie Garvin's like mid-40s here.
Yeah.
He looks great.
Oh, yeah, he does. And obviously this is the year before Ronnie Garvin becomes the world champion and basically ends his career. All right, let's look and see what they were doing in Florida this weekend.
I really liked Ronnie Garvin.
As one of the guys chasing Flair, yeah. I mean, he, you know. But, you know, I mean, Dusty explains it best. He had no idea what to do once, you know, once Ronnie won, the story was over. Okay, so previous CWF show, Wednesday night in Miami Beach. It was Lex Luger, the Southern champion, defeats Barry Windham. And the main event, NWA World Heavyweight Champion Ric Flair defeats Tyree Pride.
Oh, my God, that must have been a match.
Yes, yes. And if you're heading down to Orlando on Sunday the 20th, Lex Luger and Jesse Barr in a dog collar match is the main event. So.
Sorry, Lex Luger had not been in Crockett yet.
No, he hasn't. Okay.
That was interesting. Buzz Sawyer hooked his ankle with his leg. That was kept right. Back from tagging. That was interesting. You don't see that.
No, look, there's always something on these Wayback Playback shows that modern wrestlers can steal from. And then we think that's important. Maybe somebody will do that on Dark this Tuesday.
Hard blood and guts when I'm there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, perfect. A perfect opportunity for it.
Mm-hmm. Or is that called blood and guts and gym?
Blood and guts and gym. Okay, there we go. They ought to put out that shirt. Blood and guts and Jim Valley.
Yeah.
Okay, and we're probably going to have guest hosts the next couple of weeks while Jim is traveling again. Jim goes to Blood and Guts, and, yeah. Oh, there we go. Well, wow. Nice move by Sawyer. All right. So we see we're going to see who advances to the second round, or to up to the quarterfinals, actually. Midnight's already advancing. Oh, the backslide. No. I mean, 86 there, it looks to, you know, at this point and going on for the next few months, it looks like they're setting up Magnum to be the guy.
Yeah.
I had to believe that if Magnum stays healthy, that, you know, he's main eventing against Flair at Starrcade 86 instead of Nikita Koloff.
You know, when I interviewed Magnum at the Charlotte Fan Fest, he said that, you know, they had conversations, you know, that they flew him like to New York City, like this nice restaurant, and had conversations about putting the belt on it. Mm. So, yeah, I think it was going to happen. And, you know, I mean, I asked Magnum, it's like, what makes you think that you could have done it? And he was like, you know, look at my matches with Kamala and other people. It's like,
yeah,
I could carry people. Yeah, And I had to think that maybe he could have. Maybe it's maybe not sell him short. I mean,
yeah, I know. Let's see. Well, instead, Dusty gets a short title reign, and I don't know. Who's, I'm trying to think of when Flair loses it next. Is it to Randy Garvin?
Yeah.
Okay. Well.
No, Dusty in '86.
'86, yeah, but then after that.
Yeah, Garvin.
Yeah. Okay, so we're about to start the evening session.
That was a big win there for Magnum TA. Oh. Belly to belly to Rick Steiner. Which is funny because that was Rick Steiner's move.
Yeah.
Overtime.
Yes.
There's handsome Tony Schiavone.
That's right. Okay. And don't forget, we still have Flair and Dusty Rhodes, Hacksaw Duggan, and Dick Slater. Okay. Oh, no disqualification, Duggan and Slater. All right. Oh, look. Look who's going to explain the rules of this tournament.
Is it Ben White?
No.
Oh, I know.
I know this guy. Yes.
Pre good old J.R. Jim Ross.
Yep. 20-minute time limit. No. Yes, a draw eliminates both teams. And you can have a double countout or a double disqualification. Okay. Yay. A one save rule is in effect. You get to save your partner once. All right. Off the top rope is legal. Yeah. All right. Okay. There we go. Yeah. All right. So over the top rope DQ is in effect. Okay. All right. Let's now he's going to go over the brackets, I guess. Okay. All right. So up next is the Road Warriors against Wahoo McDaniel and Mark Youngblood. Oh, so Jimmy Valiant and Manny Fernandez against Ivan and Nikita Koloff. Steve Williams and Terry Taylor against Rick Martel and Dino Bravo. Rock and Roll Express against the Sheepherders. Yeah. Oh, and Tully and Arn against the Fantastics. Okay. Oh, and Giant Baba and Tiger Mask against Black Bart and Jimmy Garvin. I wonder who's going to win that one.
That's quite a contrast in styles.
Yeah. That's a collision of styles. All right, this is probably a good stopping point, so we're going to hit this and give it a stop at 55:35. When we're about to get the introductions to the next match, which is the Road Warriors dropping in to take on Wahoo McDaniel and Mark Youngblood.
It's the most successful independent wrestling promotion of this generation. It's the place where the stars of today made their name. Now get the inside story of Ring of Honor from those that lived it with an honorable mention. Join Ring of Honor alumni Shane Hagedorn and his co-host Jeff Schwartz as they break down a classic Ring of Honor event every Tuesday and get the behind-the-scenes scoop and inside stories that you won't hear anywhere else. An honorable mention, available every Tuesday on your favorite podcast platforms. For exclusive bonus content, plus early ad-free access to every show, check out patreon.com/anhonorablepod.
We would like to thank Gregoire Lormet for the use of his track Run Faster, Jump Higher. You can hear all of his work at Jamendo.com or on his website, musicepique.com, musicuee-epique.com.
Let's see. Also, so that weekend, might as well get this out of the way. World Class is in Dallas on Friday night at the Sportatorium. And on that show, it's, okay, Kerry Von Erich defeating Steve Regal. Not William Regal of the current, not the William Regal that we know, the Steve, Mr. Electricity Steve Regal. And in the main event, it was Bruiser Brody and the Missing Link defeating the Great Kabuki and Terry Gordy. Wonder if they've got that there somewhere that we can watch. That'd be interesting. All right, I think that's a pretty good cross section of where we were in wrestling. But wrestling was interesting. There's a lot of territories, and some of them have come together to put on this crazy show. And there's people from outside the AWA who come in for also for Wrestle Rock the next day. It was different. Can I just go with it was different?
This era, you can see that the territories are dying out and things are changing.
Yeah, and the what's left of the territories, they're willing to try, whatever it takes. So there's going to be a lot of experimentation going on, I guess would be a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's see. I'd like to thank our audience because we went up in the podcast rankings in Ireland again, Jim. And I guess WrestleMania 4, a great day for the Irish. It's that Irish fellow Hulk Hogan, I think, that does it.
That's what they're supposed to be, yeah.
Yep. I think that's it. Okay. I should also check and see what else. But again, you guys are great, and thank you. And those of you who want the archives. patreon.com/waybackplayback. Don't forget, we have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/waybackplaybackpodcast. Visit us on Twitter. I'm at Real Pat McNeil. Jim is at Jim Valley. And you can leave a 5, 6, or 7-star review for us on iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever your pods are cast. And Jim's going to Jacksonville.
That's right. I'll be there on Wednesday. So. Yeah, if I get to be on TV, I'll wave to.
Blood and guts and Jim Valley, folks. What could be better?
What more do you want?
I don't know. Blood and guts and Jim Valley and Kerry Valley.
Yeah, that too. She will be there. Lucky her. Her first cage match.
Yeah, her first cage match? Well, that's a special.
You never forget.
You never forget your first cage match. That's true. Yes. Okay, but we thank you all. And, of course, if you would like to know more about Buzz Sawyer or Rick Steiner, Magnum TA, Rugged Ronnie Garvin, or Earl Hebner, go check out pwtorch.com, f4wonline.com, or Wrestling Observer, or go to your local library app because they're all in books. Jim?
Yeah, looking forward to this. Like I said, in many ways, this is a dream card with all of the talent, so we'll check it out. Same way back time, same playback channel.
Yes, and I got to find a couple of guest hosts, and Jim, we'll miss you, but we will continue. We will soldier on through the rest of the Crockett Cup, and Jim will be back in 3 weeks, so we can watch the Crockett Cup end and watch Dusty take on Ric Flair and Duggan and Dick Slater. And we've seen, and if you think you've seen it all, we just have a lot of interesting stuff left. This is you know, we got to do, we, you know, having the WWE Network sort of shrunk down, you know, it broadens our horizons, I think. I think it's a good thing.
Yeah, there's still a lot of stuff on YouTube to watch. So that's not a bad thing.
No, it's not. We're enjoying it. So, again, thank you. So until we meet again, yesterday is history, tomorrow is a mystery, next week is another episode. Good night, everybody.